The sugya of Moitzi Shemra. The Gemara on Zayin Omer Aleph quotes a memory from one of the Amoraim on the first wide line on the Omer. Omer Abam Nuna Ein Chilas Dina Shalodam Nidon El Al Dibay Torah Shenema Koita Mayim Reishis Lodon Ein Mayim Al Torah. So Koita Mayim means one who is mevatel learning, one who doesn't learn. It's Reishis Lodon, when a person goes to the Olam Emes and they're going to judge him, they're going to punish him for all of the Averis that he did. So the first the sugya of Moitzi Shemra. The Gemara on Zayin Omer Aleph quotes a memory from one of the Amoraim on the first wide line on the Omer. Omer Abam Nuna Ein Tchilas Dina Shalodam Nidon El Al Dibay Torah Shenema Koita Mayim Reishis Lodon Ein Mayim Al Torah. So Koita Mayim means one who is mevatel learning, one who doesn't learn. It's Reishis Modem, when a person goes to the Olam Emes and they're going to judge him, they're going to punish him for all of the Averis that he did. So the first thing they're going to judge about is Bittul Torah. Ein Chilas Dina Shalodam El Al Dibay Torah. So Tosfos here has a famous kasha. The Tosfos Zayin Omer Aleph, Dibra Maskel El Al Dibay Torah. Tosfos Ota Kasha, that there's a Gemara in Bema Mablikin that says that when people come to the Olam Emes, they ask you six questions. And the first question is whether you were honest in business. And afterwards, the next question is, so you see that that's not the first thing. The first thing they judge people about is honesty in business. So Taisus gives the teretz, Taisus gives the different teretz. Taisus here and Taisus in other places gives different teretz. There's a famous teretz that they have in the name of the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, and a few other svarim have it, a few achrayim have it in Esvarim. That if you look there in the Gemara Shabbos, it's a Harif is big Teretz, but it may even be Emes. The Pashtus is it's even Emes. The Gemara there has six questions. The first question is Nisasim and Asata Ben Muna. The next question is Kavait Eitim Latur. The next question is Asakta Vipiri Viribian. The next question is, I forgot already, Tzipisa Yeshua. Tzipisa Yeshua. The next question is Akadeng Shemeshwan. Pilpalta Bechokhma. I think Pilpalta Bechokhma. And the next question is, I forgot already what, something was. Huh? Well, could be, Lamalta Dom Matardor. Could be. So the Rebbe Rav Shmelke points out, how come there are six questions? So he says there's one memory after the other, and that daf, and Shabbos daf Lamed Aleph. First, the Gemara has a memory on the Pasuk in Yeshaya. So the Gemara says that pasuk is the remez for the Shishi Sidrei Mishnah. Vayat Munas is a reference to Seder Zeroyim. Itecho is a reference to Moyen. Itecho. Choysen is a reference to Noshim. Yeshuas is a reference to Nezikin. Chochmas Badas is a reference to Kachin and a reference to Taras. And then the memory continues. Yiras Hashem Hiyotzara, if the person has Yiras Hamayim, then he will be able to contain all of the Shas that he learns. If the person is lacking Yiras Hamayim, he won't be able to absorb, or even if he can absorb it, he's going to forget the Talmud Torah. Yiras Hashem has to be the Yotzara. Chaim Olojim has a long arichus in the Nefesh HaChaim, that if you want to store a lot of grain, so you got to make a big base of Yisrael. So if a person wants to store a lot of Torah, so you better have a lot of Yerushalayim in order to have a bigger storage house. The more Yerushalayim there is, so the more he'll be able to absorb. Otherwise, it just has a mashu, a shmek topic of Yerushalayim, then he won't be able to absorb so much. So that's the first memory of the Gemara. Then the next memory, I think it's even the same on Dorma. The next memory says, when he comes to the Olam Emes, they ask you six questions. So he says, all the six questions are mechuben. Can I get the six Sidorim of Shas? The question is, the first question, Nasasa of Nasata Be'emuna, doesn't really mean did you deal honestly in business. It means did you learn Seder Zeroyim. Emunas is Seder Zeroyim. The next question is, Kavaita Itim Latar. Itim is Emunas Itecha. Itecha means did you learn Moyed. The next question, Tzipisa LeYeshua. So we usually say we are hoping for the coming of Mashiach. Chavetz Chaim has a country, Tzipisa LeYeshua. We are hoping for the coming of Mashiach. Chol Yom Machakalot. So the Rebbe Rav Shmelk and the others say, no, that's not what it means. Tzipisa LeYeshua means that you look into, the next question is, Asak to the Pirei Verivya. Doesn't mean we are Mekayim Pirei Verivya. No, that's not what it means. It means that you learn Seder Nashim. The next question, Tzipisa LeYeshua, doesn't mean were you hoping for the coming of Mashiach. No, you have to hope for the coming of Mashiach. The question is, did you learn Nezikin? Because Nezikin is called Yeshua's. And the next question, Pilpalta b'chokhma, that's the next one. That's Kachim, is called Chokhmas v'Das. Chokhmas is Kachim, and Taras is Das. So Lamarata Dova Mitach Dova, that's Das, that means did you learn Taras? So all the six questions are all of the great Torah. Then you ask him other questions also. Did he deal honestly in business? Did he keep Taras HaMashpacha? Did he keep Kashrus? Did he keep everything else? But Taka, the first six questions that they ask are all on Divrei Torah. They ask him each Seder separately. Zerayim Moed, Nashim, Zikin, Kachim, Taras. That's how they quote in the name of the Rebbe Rav Shmelk. And they quote the Psafim. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, on the bottom of the Ein Yankif, on Masechah Shabbos, either there or here, I forgot, either on Bamam Adlik and Daf Laman Aleph or on this Daf in Sanhedrin, one of them, they quote from one of the regular Svarim, not Achsidish, not from the Rebbe Rav Shmelk, they quote one of the Achronim, says like that also, that all the six questions in Shabbos are all about Liman HaTorah, and the six questions, it's one member following the other, it corresponds to the six Siddurim of Mishnayos. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once called upon one of the boys to read a Tosis in class. I think it was Takuma, we're learning Sanhedrin. So Tosis had a kasha. Tosis always has a kasha from the other Gemara. The other Gemara says Shtei Fakir. So a lot of times you look up the other Gemara, the Gemara doesn't exist. We have a different Girsa. We don't have that Gemara. Oh, we have the Gemara, but Rashi doesn't learn like Tosis. The whole kasha is all because Tosis learns the Gemara like that. You look at the Gemara, learn Rashi here. So you see that Rashi has a different shot, the kasha hips of Ganeshtan. So he asked one of the boys to read the Tosis, so the boy started reading, so he started to scream, no, did you look? Does it really say that in the Gemara? Did you look it up? So he said, no, he took Tosis's word for it. He didn't look it up. So he got angry at the boy, so he said, you go to college. So he said, yes. So he said, you didn't learn anything from college. That's the first you say that they teach you in college. Not to take anybody's word for anything. You always check up the sources to see if it really says. So he told over a story about Rav Chaim Volozhin, that he was walking around the Beis Medrash to see if the boys were learning. So he asked one of the boys also such a Tosis. Did you look up Tosis as a kasha from the Gemara? He said, did you look up the other Gemara? So he said, no, he took Tosis's word for it. So he said, when they come to the Olam HaEmes, Tosis says, Astira. Then in this Gemara, it says, the first thing that they judge you about is Liman HaTorah, and Chidus Dina Shalom HaVivai Torah. The Gemara there says, you're going to ask about Nasasim and Asata Damunah, did you deal honestly in business? It's Astira between the two Gemara. So Abchaim HaLozhin has said, Bibdi Chusa. He said, no, the first question they're going to ask there in Shabbos is also in Liman HaTorah. They're going to say, when you deal in business, you take the other fellow's word for it. Nasasim and Asata Damunah, Bitmiyah. That's how you deal in business. You take someone's word for it. You don't take anybody's word for it. You make sure that everything is signed. You got everything mixed up. You don't trust anybody on anything. And kihuza. So why do you take anybody's word for it in learning? Tosis quotes a Gemara. Don't take their word for it. Look it up. Just like if you would deal in business with Tosis, you wouldn't take their word for it. You would make sure that they would sign a contract. See, here also, you should never take their word for it. That's al derech halotze. That's what pshat is in the Gemara. But what they quote from the Rebbe Rav Shmelke, and from other Achrayim, that could even be Mamish, the Emes, a Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, because it's the one member is right after the other. On the next Gemara, the Gemara has a whole Agarate here, starting on the fourth wide line, on Zayin Omen Aleph, the Gemara has a series, one story after another, Hahu the Habiko Omer B'Yozil. There was a Yid who used to always say, this was his favorite mimer. He used to say a memra. So the Gemara is searching, where is there a pasuk in Tanakh that substantiates the memra that he said? So the Gemara has it. One story, another story, one after the other, after the other. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a shiur, and when we learned Sanhedrin, he didn't talk about this Gemara, but he once gave a shiur for the status of Rabbanim, where he spoke on Bedak Ganis. This shiur was printed also, I think about by Bezdin's book in English. So he commented on this Gemara, what's the hemshich to the sugi here? So he says, the sugi before was talking about pshara. So there was a three-way machlekes hatanaim. We learned last week and the week before, there's a three-way machlekes hatanaim. One tana holds is also to make a pshara. Here, on the second line from the top of Vav Amabes. Lozer Benosha of Yosek Lili Yom Osu Lifzer. Kol HaBetzeya, Harei Zachoyte, Betzeya Berach Niyat Hashem, the one who praises the Dayan who makes a Pshara, is Chiruf Egiduf. What do you mean? You have a standard of morality that's higher than what the Torah gives. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah, and he said that this is morality. So there's no such thing as a morality above that of the Torah. So Rav Lezer, Rav Yosha, Rav Yosef, we hold that it's us. We don't paskin like him. We paskin one Tana holds Mutar L'Tzoyah, one Tana holds Mitzvah L'Tzoyah. The Gemara says, Machlekes about the Mutar or Mitzvah. How you talking, Taka? How can it be that there's a morality that's above that of the Rebbeinu Shlom? Who's going to be able to figure out what's more moral than the dinim of the Torah? How can you figure it out? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Perhaps the Malach teaches, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, that the Malach teaches us all, that's how the Tanya begins. That when the baby is inside the mother's womb, so the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula, and then he slaps the baby that he should forget. So if he's going to slap the baby in the end, then he should get. So what does he waste all of his time to keep on teaching? So obviously, when he makes him forget at the end, it's still going to be Rishuma Nikas. There's going to be something that's going to remain behind. There's going to be, the Balatanya says that's the source of the Abba HaMusuteris, that every Jew has, even a person that's not religious, even a person who doesn't display any interest in observing mitzvahs, there's always a latent Abba in his heart that he wants to fulfill the mitzvahs HaTorah. That's what the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, all the Darshanim point out, the Rambam at the end of Perek Beis, and the Rebbe Gerushin says that the person, sometimes the Bezin forces a man to give his wife a get under certain instances. So the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Erechin, then Makanos HaShayyam HaRoitzani, Koifanos, Makanos HaShayyam HaRoitzani, he beat him up until he agrees. So the Rambam quotes the Kasha from the Gemara Cheskes Sabbat, and what kind of a fake is that? He says he doesn't want to give a get. He keeps on refusing, then the Bezin beats him up till he agrees. So that's under duress, it's right under duress. How is that good? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, it's not the Rambam's original. The Rambam, the Kasha and the Rambam is, you should have passed like the other Mandama. Before, you know, you can't even have a Kasha. But the Rambam source is the Gemara Cheskes Sabbat, and the Sugi of Tolyul Bezovin, that the Gemara says that everyone really has an inner desire to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew wants to do the Mitzvah HaTorah. So if the Chachamim say that he's supposed to give a get, even if it's not a Din D'oraisa, if it's a Din D'rabbanan, the Chachamim say he's required to give a get, so we shuts up his psychologically, we read his heart, we read his mind, that he really wants to give the get. He says, I refuse to give the get. So the Rambam explains that's really a pseudo-personality. That's not his real self. His real inner self really does want to give the get. So we beat him up till he says, right, Ani. So that's really true. His true Ani, his inner Ani, really does want to give the get. So that's not considered under duress. So this is what the Balatanya refers to as the Ahava HaMusuteris. It's an Ahava HaGluya. Religious people have a real love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they demonstrate it by going out of the way. But even a person who's not observant, doesn't go out of his way at all, everybody has an Abba HaMusuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is the Abba HaMusuteris. So the Balatanya quotes the Pesuk in Kaayot, it's an instinctive reaction, just like the gazelle knows how to run towards the river. What he knows, the gazelle knows how to read a map. He knows where he's going north, south, no, sometimes intuitively. The animals know how to run towards the water. So too, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, how does it say? Behemasani lochavka, really the Pasuk. The person has an instinctive love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that Abba HaMusuteris comes from the fact that the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kula to the baby before his born. Even though he causes the baby to forget, but a lot remains behind. And this is one of the things, this intuitive love, this intuitive desire to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the Umas Olam, there is no such thing. By the Umas Olam, staka tabula rasa, like they say. That when a baby is born, everything is clear. Because Malach only teaches Kol HaTorah Kula to the Bnei Yisrael. So that apparently, that's what Rav Soloveitchik had on, that apparently is the idea behind the notion of Pshara, that we assume that even though it says in the Torah one thing, and we assume that Dini Maman is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's considered morality, but it's possible to go Lifni Mishura Sadin, to have a morality above that of the Torah. Now how are we going to figure out what's a Lifni Mishura Sadin? Because the Malach taught us Kol HaTorah Kula before we were born, even though he made us forget it, but we have an intuitive feeling towards Yosher. You have an intuitive sense of what's proper and what's just. So that's the whole idea behind pshara, that we paskin that it's mutter or mitzvah l'chzoyas, it's permissible to make a pshara, that it is shayach, that a person should be able to come up with the concept of b'fnei mishuras hadin av yosher, which is over and above what it says in the Torah. So the Gemara continues to say that they were Yidden who used to have pitgamim, they used to have models that they themselves made up. So the Gemara Gehalpin, the Tanoim and Amoraim held that it must say in Tanakh somewhere. If the person develops such a notion, so I must say, if a Yid develops an idea, so it must be that this idea stems from the Tanakh that the Malach taught him before he was born. Otherwise he wouldn't have come up. Otherwise he wouldn't have come up with such an idea. So the Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's the Hemshech HaSugya. These five or six stories, whatever they are over here, Pidgamim Amamiyim, just the Vatlach over here. These, and each time the Gemara says that it's based on Tanakh, it's based on the person of Chumash and Omois and whatever, Koheles and Tilim, all the different sources. So this is the idea, this is the theme behind the whole notion of Pshar. If not for this idea that the person has an intuitive sense of coming up with a concept from Tanakh on his own, that in realizing it, we would not have allowed a Pshar. The Pshar is all based on that notion that a person can come up with a yoshitika concept, that's lifnei mishuras hadin. All of the agaritas here are very important, right? But maybe I'll just say one more word over here. There's a famous comment from Adolba Soloveitchik on Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara says, about the 20 lines from the bottom of the Yomar, the Gemara quotes from the end of Chumash Dvar, that when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving instructions to Yeshua ben Nun that he's going to take over the manhigus of Klal Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, "Katos Sodroi is Bnei Yisrael." And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yeshua ben Nun the instructions, he says, "Katos Savi is Bnei Yisrael." So what's the difference between "Katos Savoi es Bnei Yisrael" and "Katos Savi es Bnei Yisrael"? So the Gemara says, "Katos Savoi es Bnei Yisrael" means you'll come together with them. We'll all come together. Atos Avi as Bnei Yisrael means you're going to be the balabos. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshua ben Nun, Dabar Echad Lador, V'en Shnei Dabarim Lador. Dabar means the manhi. There's only one Moshe, there's only one balabos. And don't consult with the others. At Hastis Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua ben Nun that when he's going to have an issue, Amalai Moshe, the Yeshua, Atova has Kenim Shabadori Moim, together. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to die. And I got the Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a good Talmud, you know how to learn guns good, but you're not like me, so make sure you consult with the others. Don't do on your own. I had the ability to do on my own because I heard from the Rebbe Shlomo directly. I was in Hasidai, Abraham Yom, Abraham Lele, but you shouldn't promise such a zach. You discuss all the Shabbos with the others, can. Don't do on your own. Atos Savoy, Esau. Work it out together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like the Rebbe Shlomo is disagreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, no, Atos Savoy has been in Israel. Don't consult with this game. So what is it? Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. The Rebbeinu Shlom corrected him that Yeshua ben Nun shouldn't consult with the others. He should balabat with it on his own and do things without consultation. So Rabbeinu, the Soloveitchik has in the Sefer HaChumash, says, no, they're two different things. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving instructions to Yeshua ben Nun, if a shaila will come up, make sure you consult with the others. You're not Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm about to die, and that's it. I was the only person who heard directly from the Shechin. You didn't hear directly. Say, even though you attacked my best Talmud, but you better consult with the others, Kenim Shibadon. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, what Moshe Rabbeinu said is Girecht. Whenever a Shaila comes up, always consult. The Gemara Taka has it. When he used to have a Shaila of Treifus, he used to gather together all of the Shochtim in town and consult all of them to make sure that they get the correct psak. And in the event that they'll make a mistake, so the oinish for paskening wrong will be spread out among all of them. So the one who paskening wrong won't suffer all by himself, he'll only suffer one tenth. If he consulted with another nine people, so the oinish will be shared by all of the others. That's the Gemara's lashon. That the whole log of wood shouldn't hit on my head, only a little toothpick should hit me, a little chip of the wood should be my punishment, and a little chip of wood will share all the punishment. So the Gemara says that this anetzah for everybody, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have to consult with anybody else. But everybody else should consult. The Rebbeinu Shalom just commented to Yeshua ben Nun, what Moshe Rabbeinu said is gerech. When you have a shaila, you have to consult. But you shouldn't think that the same is true with respect to politics. When it comes to politics, you're going to ask everybody's opinions, then you never get anywhere. You make a committee, there has to be a committee of one. comes to making a haklot and political things, they say, Dabar echad l'dor v'ein shnei dabor l'dor, tu makal l'hachal kot kodom. You be the balabas, atosovi es b'nei Yisrael. You all by yourself. You make all the final decisions. And Torah should go together with the others. It should be b'shutfes. And in the politics, it should be only one person. Okay, all the other agartas are also important. But we're not going to cover the whole Masechta anyway, so maybe we'll go to the next sugya. The next sugya on the bottom of Chesem and Aleph is the first major complicated sugya in the Perek in the Masechta. Famous sugya of Moiti Shemra. This sugya has many, many themes and sub-themes and a lot of intrigue and a lot of footnotes over here. So we're going to have to go through this sugya very slowly and carefully. A lot of this is very halacha l'maaseh. This sugya of Moiti Shemra, a lot of it is very halacha l'maaseh. Let's go back to the Mishnah. On Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah said there are two kinds of Dine Torah and Dine Mamonos that require a Dezen of Shloisha. There's Dine Mamonos B'Shloisha, and then there's Gzeres HaHavolos B'Shloisha. So we already learned the Gemara. The Dine Mamonos refers to Hadras V'Halvoah, he says B'Shloisha Hedyoitas. And Gzeres HaHavolos B'Shloisha means B'Shloisha Mumchim, meaning that you need three Smuchim. And we went through the Gemara already. How do you come to that conclusion? Why do you need three Hedyoitas for Hadoas Valvois, and why three smoke, whatever it is, we worked it out. Then the Mishnah continues, that not only Gzeres HaHavolos, Nezek, Chatzi Nezek, Kefil, Dalet V'hei, Oynes Mefatam, Oytzi Shemra, all of the Dini Mammon is Mammon, Knas, everything is B'Shloisha Smukhim. Fine, that's the law. So what do these three things mean? This is a famous partnership over here. Oynes Mefatam, Oytzi Shemra, everybody knows, it goes B'Nishim Achas. Oynes Mefatam, Oytzi Shemra, Oynes means someone is Ma'anes, Anara B'Sulo. A single girl, so he's ma'anis the girl, so he has to pay chamish in kesef. Mefateh does mean that they both decide to be mezana together, both mezana together, so what does he have to pay her? What's the oinish? No. He was going to be, she didn't want to be mezana with him. He kept on talking until he sort of pressured her. He pressured her until she agreed to be mezana. But if she agreed right away, she said, okay, let's go be mezana. Then there's no penalty, then there's no knas. So there's a din of oynes and there's a din of mefateh. The oynes and the mefateh, you pay the hamishim shekel kesef. Every shekel is 4 zuzim, so that's masayim zuz. It says in the chumash that you pay oynes and mefateh. Says kesef yishkol kimohar habesulas. What does it mean kimohar habesulas? So the Gemara says in Ksuvos that this man not in Torah, they used it when a girl would get married who was a besula. She was never married before, first time she's getting married. So the practice would be that the boy would give her a ksuvah, means he would be mishabed himself that in the event that he's going to divorce her, or in the event that he dies and she becomes an almana, so she won't have her husband supporting her. So he's going to give her chamishim shekel kesef. Chamishim shekel kesef is the same as 200 zuz, because every shekel has 4 zuz in it. That's masayim zuz. So you see from the Chumash that's how much the Ksuba used to be. The Gemara has a machloikis atanoim in Ksubas in a few different places, but the Ksuba deraisa, a Ksuba lab deraisa. So some tanoim say that Ksuba deraisa. The Pasuk talks about Ksuba. Kesef yishko kamar apsula. So you see that there's a din of Ksuba deraisa. And the other tanoim say, no, Ksuba lab deraisa. Aye, but it says in the Chumash, kesef yishko, there is such a thing as mar apsula. Yeah, that was the practice. This man matan Torah, that was the noik shabarilam. By the Yuma Soilam, when they would get married, they would give, if the girl was never married before, the minik oilam would be that he gave her a ksuba. But it doesn't mean that that's a chiyuv, you're not a chiyuv to give a ksuba. But since that was the minik oilam, is man matin Torah, that before a girl got, when a girl would get married for the first time, so at the time of the marriage, the boy would give the girl a document, he would be mishabin himself to the ksuba of the 50 shkolim, the masayim zuz. So that's why the Torah just gives the background, the reason. Why is Onis Mefatah Chayv to pay Hamishim Kesef? Because if not for the fact that he was Mizana with the girl, she would have normally gotten married a Besula, and she would have gotten a Ksuba's Besula from her husband. That's the Minig. So long that it's not a Chayv. That would be the practice, the Minig, that he would have given her a Ksuba of Hamishim Kesef. So therefore, by being honest and Mefatah the girl, he's mafsid her that she's never going to have a Ksuba. So that's why he has to pay this hefset, like an Odom HaMazik, but it's really Grumman Ben Zikin. Who says she would have gotten a ksuba? Who says she's going to get married? Maybe she's never going to get married. Even if she does get married, who says that he's going to give her the the ksuba, ksuba lav deraisa. But still, the Torah says that since that was the meaning, this ma matan Torah, that whenever people would get married, to the girl would get married for the first time, a ksuba, they would give a ksuba. So that's why the Torah davei shtel tadin that oynes and the fact is mechuyif to pay chamishim shekel kesef, because kesef yishkel kamar ksuba. So he's mafsed her that now she's not going to get this. Now it's impossible for her to get.
The father gets a knas. The father gets a knas. The wife gets a ksuba.
Yeah, okay, the wife gets the father gets the ksuba also. If he marries off the daughter and he divorces her during everything, he gets the ksuba too, huh?
He has to divorce her right away.
If he divorces her during everything, yeah. If he divorces the daughter during everything, so she gets the father gets the ksuba. So that's the machloekes satanaim. How do you read that pasuk? The pasuk says, Kesidishko kamar apsuba, it's talking about ksuba. But the machloekes satanaim is just because the Chumash mentions it, it means that it's a din. It means that it's an absolute chiyuv, ksuba de raisa, and they say no. Ksuba lav de raisa is not mechuyev, but that was the meaning of this ma matan ter. So that's what Tosfos points out in the beginning of ksubas. Here Rashi quotes. On the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, Rashi quotes a Gemara in ksubas daf Yud Amud Aleph. See the last few lines, last 5 lines in Rashi, where it says ksubas daf Yud Amud Aleph. So it says there, Chachamim pikto lehem le b'nei Yisrael ksuba masayim uli almona mona. That's already taking a stint. That's a machloekes satanai. Whether ksuba deraisa, a ksuba lav deraisa, ksuba salmona, for sure is only the rabbana. That there never was a machloekes satanai about. The whole machloekes is only by ksuba's psula. If the girl is getting married for the first time and she's a psula, so the fact that he's mshuba to give her the amount of ksuba, is that a din deraisa? Kamavuva pasa kimara psula, so they say no. That the ksuba is even there, it's lav deraisa. The Torah writes about the minig. The din is based on the minig, but it's not a real chiyuv. So that Gemara and Ksuba seems to pass from Chachamim Pikul Lehem and Reisus, so it's only the Rabbanan. The Ksuba is Lav the Reisus. So there, Tosfos asks the Kasha, but it says in our Ksuba, it says that the Chassan is obligating himself to give her Masayim Zuz, the Chazi Lichi, mid the Reisus. So state the Teresh, the Ksuba is the Reisus. So the Tosfos on the top of Yudah and Aleph and Ksuba quotes this Kasha. So they quote that some Balei HaTosfos Taka says they're right. Is there right? But we don't hold like that. We pass from like the Rov HaRishon that Ksuba is lav deraisa. So Ksuba is lav deraisa. So what did we write? The Chazi Lichi mid deraisa means he obligates himself to give it a Masayim Zuz, the Chazi Lichi, which you deserve mid deraisa. How do you read it? That's what it says in the Ksuba. So what kind of business is that? Ksuba lav deraisa. So the Rosh and that Gemara Ksuba is Afyuna Man Aleph gives pshat in the text of the Ksuba, and it's quoted in the Eben Ezra. It's quoted in Halacha LaMaisa. That the Gemara says we learned in Kiddushin. In the first Perek in Kiddushin, the Gemara has in Chayrus and Dafnun that there were two monetary systems, Bizman HaTanayim, there were two monetary systems that were running concurrently in Eretz Yisrael. Visualize, let's say, in America we have a dollar, we have a half a dollar, we have a quarter, we have a dime, a nickel, and a penny. And they have the same cheshbon in Canadian money, I think. Is it the same? The Canadian money is the same as American money? No, it's not the same. So now I think, if I'm not mistaken, Canadian money is slightly less valuable than American money. I remember years ago, the Canadian money was slightly more valuable than American money. So you have two systems that are running concurrently. It's rather not in the same country. Okay, one is in Canada, one is in America. You cross over the border. So you have a dollar, a half a dollar, a quarter, a dime, a nickel, and a penny. And it's not the same. One is at this worth more than the other. So the Zman HaTanayim, they had in Eretz Yisrael two systems. Each one had a dollar and a half, a dollar and a quarter, and a dime, and a nickel, and a penny. They had the Zuzim and Dinrim and all of these things there, Tarpeic and all of the different coins. And the two systems were not the same. There was Kesef Tzuri and there was Kesef Medina. The Kesef Tzuri, every dollar of Kesef Tzuri was worth 8 times a dollar in Kesef Medina. Every half a dollar was worth 8 times a half a dollar in Kesef Medina. Every coin, they had the exact same names for the coins, but this monetary system was 8 times the value of the other monetary system. So the Gemara asked the question, whenever it says in the Chumash or in the Mishnayos that you have to pay a certain amount of money, so which coin does it mean? Does it mean you have to pay, let's say, 50 shkolah? I mean, some of the fact that you pay 50 shkolah. Figure out then you give 5 shkolah. So which is that? Do you give the shekel of the Kesef Tzuri, or do you give the shekel of the Kesef Medina? Which system? So the Gemara says the following, Kol Kesef Amar Batorah, whenever it's an amount of money that's written in the Chumash, the Haimah, Machzis HaShekel, you have to give every year for the purpose of purchasing Karbonis Tikva, so that's in Chumash, Machzis HaShekel. And then you have to give Shloshim Shkolim for Shoah Mu'ad kills an Eved K'naini, so the Baal HaShoah has to pay the Baal HaEved K'naini Shloshim Shkolim. And then what else? 5 Shkolim for Pidyon HaBen, and 50 Shkolim for Einus HaMefat, and 100 Shkolim for Moitzi Shemra. What else is there? I don't remember. Mistama, that's all. So in all those cases, that's Kesef Tzui. That's the higher amount of money. When the Chumash gives you these amounts, the Chumash is talking in terms of Kesef Tzui, the more valuable amount. The Shel Divrehem, but if the Mishnah says in Bava Kama in Perak HaChayvah, that if you hit somebody on the ear, you have to pay a penalty of so much, or if you break his leg, you pay so much, and he gives you an amount of money. So when the Tanoim are speaking, they're not speaking in biblical terms, they're not talking about Kesef Tzuri. Shel Divrehem, whenever it's in the Tanoim, it's Kesef Medina, you pay the lower amount. Ve'at HaShayvah, what about Ksubim? The Ksuba is 50 Shkolim, which is the equivalent of 200 Zuz, because there are 4 Zuzim in every Shekel. So how much do you pay? Do you pay 50 shkolim kesef tzuri, or do you pay 50 shkolim kesef medina? So the Chora, one should have said that it depends on the machlekes hatanoim. If you hold ksuba deraisa, if it's a din deraisa, then the klal applies kol kesef homa batoira, a kesef tzuri, so it's the higher amount. But if ksuba is lav deraisa, it's only the rabbanon, so then you should apply the other rule that shel divrehem is kesef medina, you should pay the lower amount. So that's what the Rosh says, no, that doesn't apply over here. Even if you hold that Ksuba is lav deraisa, that's the way we paskin. The Ruba of the Rishonim paskin that Ksuba is lav deraisa. Only that basis on Yudam and Alf, the top of Yudam and Alf, and Ksuba, they quote one of Egypt, Rabbi Natam. It's not Stam and insignificant. Rabbi Natam, I think, holds that Ksuba is deraisa, but all because it says in the Ksuba, the Chazulichim is deraisa, but all the other Rishonim don't accept that, and that's how we paskin. We paskin that Ksuba lav deraisa. Not only Ksuba lav deraisa, if Loi Kosov lo Ksuba, if he never wrote the Ksuba, what if he did give her a Ksuba? Like we always write a ksuba. They fill out a ksuba and the chazan gives it a ksuba. So one would have thought, let's say I don't owe you, I'm not marrying you. A man needs another person. He writes, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000, and he gives him the document, and he says, I'm a shabbat myself. So the halacha says, chayv ani lachmona b'shtar is chayv. If I give you a document to create his chayvus moment, that's a valid form of some achlegs abechen v'shlokish. In Ksubis and Daf Kuv Beis Amid Aleph. That's called Chayv Ani Lachmona B'Shtar. That's our thesis learns of Shad. I write a piece of paper and I say, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100. If I would make a Kenyan suitor, they say, I say, I promise I want to give you $100. So tomorrow I change my mind so I don't have to pay. What happens if you'll give me a suitor, you'll give me a handkerchief, and you'll tell me, by my accepting the handkerchief from you, this is Meshabim me in exchange to give you $100. And that's what Gemara says. Konami Yoda. It says in Gan Shas, if Konami Yoda made a Kabbalah's Kenyan Suter, that can certainly create his Chayvus moment. Shaila is, what if it's like Konami Yoda? They didn't make a Kabbalah's Kenyan Suter to create his Chayvus, but he wrote it down on a document. I hereby obligate myself to give you $100, and I sign it, and I give it over, let's say, in the presence of Aiden, if you all need Aiden, I gave it over. I didn't sign on it, whatever, a real bona fide shtar. So that's a machlekes of Yechanan and Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, no, that's not a valid way to be koine his chayvus moment. Because shtar is only good to be koine karka. And this is not karka, this is dina kimetalkum. Shtar is not koine metalkum, so it doesn't work. And we don't paskin like Reish Lakish, we paskin like Rav Yechanan. Then chayv ani lachmona b'shtar does create his chayvus moment. So one can ask Hashayla, when do you pass in the ksubas lav deraisa? That's if loy kosov lo ksuba, if he didn't give any ksuba. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that it's a tanai bezin, that the husband has to, in the event that the husband dies, that the husband divorces his wife, it's a takona satanai, that she's entitled to collect the ksuba, even though she never got the document. Even though at the time of the chasen and the chuppah, he never gave her any ksuba. That's a mifnesha tanai bezinu. That's what it says in the Mishnah in ksubas. So one can argue the point and say that when you say it's only a tanai bezin, it's only a takona de rabbanon, that's a loy masolo, loy kasolo ksuba. He never gave her a document. So the fact that he's obligated, whether he said he wants to or not, that's only the rabbanon. But what if he did give her a document? If I give her a document, even if I would give to a stranger, not to my wife, I'm not marrying, stop a person. I meet a person, I give him a shtar, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100, I give you the shtar. We pass like Rabbi Yechon, chayv ani lachmona b'shtar. Is koine de hischag, just like koine de yodoi. Just like a Kabbalah's Kenyan Suter is good to create a hischagis moment, so a shtar is also good to create a hischagis moment. So one might have thought that then everybody should, by the way, we have the practice, the chasen always gives a ksuba, so that's for sure, that's their isa. So all of the pasukim say no. When he gives the shtar, the ksuba, he just means that that should be a shtar raya for the takana de rabbanon. It's only a shtar raya that the takana de rabbanon is in effect, and the ksuba is still only the rabbanon. And you still have, the Gemara has, the Mishnayos have various kulas with respect to collecting ksuba, and the Gemara calls it mikulik ksuba shanukan, various kulas. Because ksuba is lab deraisa, ksuba is only the rabban, so that's why there are a lot of kulas regarding collection of the ksuba. So the shayla is that the kulas apply even this man hazeh, when the practice is that everybody gives the ksuba. He gives the ksuba, so he makes it into a shibu deraisa. Chayv ani lach manu mishtah. So all the pasukim say, yeah, it's still the Arya, the Be'eloah, has a tshuva about that. He quotes from Nachman, he's a Talmud at the Ktsois. He was the mechutn of the shvera, the shinava, yeah. Yismach Moshe Zeyfer. I think he was the father-in-law of the Dibri Cheskel. No? His daughter married the Shinab, I think. Whatever, okay. There's a lot of God. So he has a tshuva where he quotes the Achronim to say like that. That even if he gave a ksuba, like we all do, it's only a shtaraya that the tonight bezin is there. It doesn't make it into a ksuba derais, it's still only the Rabban. So the Rosh points out, and Shulchan Aruch quote this, the Rosh points out, even though ksuba is lab derais, this doesn't fall under the category of kesef shel divreihen, is kesef medina. No. Even if ksuba is lav deraisa, but what is it based on? It's based on the pasuk that says by Oynes and Mefata you pay 50 shkola. What kind of 50 shkola? Kesef tsuri, not kesef medina. Oynes and Mefata is kesef tsuri. And it says in the Chumash, kesef yishkol kimohar, habasulos, he has to pay the 50 shkola like the practice was, the man matan terev, either like the din was or like the minig was. So we pass in ksuba lav deraisa, it means like the minig was. So the minig was Bizman Matan Torah that he used to give a ksuga of 50 shkol and kesef tsuri, not they gave 50 shkol and kesef medina. So the takonas hatanoim, that ksuga, the Gemara says Shimon Shetach was misakin ksuga. We hold that it's only the rabbanon. So the takonas hatanoim, that ksuga lav deraisa, that it's a takon, it's a choyflo, that it's a tonight bezin, afilo loikos of la ksuga. He's still mechuyev when he divorces the wife or he dies, she's entitled to collect the amount of the ksuga. That takona was based on the pasuk in Chumash. It's still going to be kesef tsuri. It's not going to be kesef medina. The amount of the ksuba, the rabbanon, has to be the amount that's written in the Chumash. That's what it was. It was patterned after what the practice was. Bizman matner. It's not going to be less than oynes and mefata. It's going to be the same as oynes and mefata. So that's what the Rosh says. That's what it means in the ksuba. We write, I obligate myself to give you the 200 zuz, which is the 50 shkom. There are 4 zuzim in every shekel. The chazi lichi. Midya Raisa doesn't mean which you are entitled to Minat Torah. No. It means Masayim Zuz, the Chazi Lichi, and the Masayim Zuz is Midya Raisa. But the money is the Raisa Dika money. It's not the Rabbana Dika money, which is Kesef Medina, which would have been 1/8 the amount. No, it's Kesef Tsuri Dika money. It's the Raisa Dika money, because even though Ksugas love the Raisa, the chayva of ksuba is lav deraisa, but the minig was bizman matan Torah, and the chayva was instituted based on what it says in the Chumash. Chumash state, my rapsula, it was 50 shkolim and kesef tsur. The Rishonim have a machloikis, there's a gigantic thesis in Pchairis on this sugya. And the Mishnah in Pchairis talks about pidyon aben, how do you calculate kesef, parma batara, kesef tsuri. So the thesis there has a discussion, what about ksuba salmonim? When you learn ksubas, so when you read the Mishnah, you get the impression that the ksuba of a ksuba is 200 zuz, the ksuba of an almana is 100 zuz. This means half. No, 100 is half of 200. Multiply 100 times 2 is 200. So the shayla there, no, it's not half. It should be 1/16. Why? Because ksuba's almana for sure is only the rabbana. There never was a dispute on that. All machloikas satanayim only is, and ksuba's besula. And ksuba's almana for sure it's only the rabbana. So ksuba is besula. The Rosh said that even if you hold that it's lav deraisa, the way Rav Harishayin and Pasman, that's our psak, the ksuba is besula is also only the rabbanon, but it's described in the Chumash, it's spoken of kesef yishkol kamar besula. So that's going to be 50 shkolim of kesef tsuri. But the ksuba of an almana is never mentioned in the Chumash at all. That was an invention of the rabbanon purely. Yesh meyayin, they made a takana of the rabbanon that they instituted that there should be a ksuba salmana. So maybe a ksuba salmana, since it was completely instituted by the Chachamim, so that should be governed with the rule, shel divreihen is kesef medina. Anytime there's a takana de rabbanon, doesn't appear in Chumash, and they tell you an amount of money, so that amount of money is kesef medina, not kesef tsuri. So when the Mishnah says that the ksuba besula is 100 zuz, means 100 zuz kesef medina. When it says the ksuba of a psuba is 200 zuz, it means kesef tsuri. So it's not half the amount. It's half the number, but every coin is 1/8. Every zuz, every shekel is only 1/8 the shkolim that you're dealing with in the ksuba deraisa of the psuba. So it should not be half the amount, it should be 1/16. So that's what some rishonim say. The other rishonim say no. Mishnah is to get the impression is a correct impression, that ksubas almana is half the amount of ksubas psula. So since the ksubas psula was instituted according to what it says in the Chumash, true ksubas lav derais. But the Chumash does speak about this. Chumash is speaking about the practice that they had this Mad Matan Torah, the meaning that they used to give a ksuba. So since that ksuba is in kesef tsuri, so by the almana it's also going to be kesef tsuri. So we should really write by the almana also the chazi lichem derais. If you're referring to matbeis, the raisa dika matbeis, when you have a ksuba of a psula, we write the chazi lichma deraisa, and we don't mean that she's entitled to the ksuba mina Torah. No, she's only entitled to the ksuba mina Rabbanan. We mean the matbeis, or matbeis, that apply to the raisa dika din. Even though these are the Rabbanan dika din, but the matbeis are the raisa dika din. So according to the way, in Shulchan Aruch, this discussion is quoted. The Ramor with the Beishmuel quotes the 2 days and places with the Rosh. What about ksuba salmona? Do you pay in the raisa diki coins or in the rabbanan diki coins? So the question is, if you hold that you pay in the raisa diki coins and it's not 1/16 the amount, it's really 1/2, so you really ought to write the same nusach in the ksuba salmona. 100 zuz, the chazi lichma de raisa. We don't write that. We write the chazi lichma de rabbanan. It's akasha. It's akasha. It's akasha. It doesn't really make too much of a difference anyway, because lamaisa, we always add on much more. We add on tosefes ksuba, we assess the nedunya. There are three parts to the ksuba. The first part of the ksuba is the ikka ksuba. The ikka ksuba is by a psula is masayim zuz, 50 shkolim, and by an almana is meyo zuz. Either 1/2 or 1/16 of the first amount. And then you have, in addition to the ikka ksuba, you have the nedunya. You assess how much all the property is that the girl is bringing into the marriage. That's what the Gemara calls nichsei tzoim barzel. And in the event that later on she brings in jewelry, and she brings in sheets and dresses and everything. Bilabushin mana, bishabushadir, bishabushadar, so all kinds of things that whatever she brings in, she has an automobile, whatever she has money in the bank. So we assess everything and we write down approximately how much is worth. We always write the same amount. So by a psula who's getting married for the first time, you write down Meir Zekukin Kesef Tzorof. Zekukin Kesef Tzorof are not from the Gemara. That's already German coins from the days of the Maharil. That's worth a fortune, man. That's worth much more than the whole ksuba, many, many times over, the value of the ksuba. And then we arbitrarily write the Tosefes ksuba also, that in addition to the nichsei tzoim barzel, in addition to the jewelry, in addition to the clothing and the sheets and the furniture, whatever she brings into the marriage, that's called the nedunya, the nichsei tzoim barzel, the chassan writes, v'oisef v'amin delay, he adds on a Tosefes ksuba on his own, just not corresponding to anything. So if it's a psula who's getting married for the first time, so the minig is, we add on $100 for the a hundred zekukin kesef tzorof, these golden, these silver coins for the days of Maril. You add on 100 zekukin kesef tzorof for the nedunya, and another 100 zekukin kesef tzorof for the tosefes ksuba. And if it's an almana, a grusha is getting married for the second time, then you add on the minig is like that. You add on 50 zekukin kesef tzorof for the nedunya and 50 zekukin kesef tzorof for the tosefes ksuba. Then you write at the end, sahako, the sum total of everything is, so by a girl is getting married for the first time, you write sahako, masayim zekukin kesef tzorof. By a girl is getting married for the second time, you write sahako, mea zekukin kesef tzorof. So the Achreinim discuss it, how did you add up if you have A, B, and C, how did you just add up the last two, what happened to the first one? You have 50 zekukin kesef tzorof for the nedunya, and 50 zekukin kesef tzorof for the tosefes ksuba, but you had 100 zuz for the ikik ksuba. So how do you add up by the almana, sachako, meyer zekukin? And by the psula, you add up 100 zekukin kesef tzor for the nedunya, for the nichset sambarzel, and 100 zekukin kesef tzor for the tosefes ksuba, and you left out the 200 zuz of the ikik ksuba. So there's a machlekes achrenim, how do you deal with this? How do you add up? You add up three things, so you should write the full amount. But some achrenim say, anachanami, that's what it means. It means you're making a sachako of the last two things that you're writing, which is over and above the ikka ksuba. I think many achrenim, most of the achrenim, I think say, no, it's not so. That once you've added on the sefes and the nedunya, They make a sachar kol that everything is absorbed. You don't have to pay the ikek suba in addition to the sachar kol. Whatever you write on the bottom line, sachar kol, that's all you have to pay. So the whole discussion that we had before as to how do you assess the machlekes of Rishonim, how do you assess the meyer zuz of the almana, is irrelevant. Because we don't pay that meyer zuz anyway. We're paying the meyer zukufen kesef sof, which is many times over the value of the meyer zuz for the ikek suba. So the whole discussion is irrelevant. Fine. So now Rashi quotes from that Gemara in Ksuvos. Take a look at that Rashi and Chesam and Aleph on the bottom. Chachamim tikkun lehem and Eisa Sol, the Psulam Asayim and Almana. Mana, Rashi's quoting the Gemara that all of Ksuvos, why should he get married on a Wednesday, Yom Arvi? That if you should have a Tainas Besulim, he should be able to come to Bezin the next morning and say that the Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, that the girl is a Gerula, and she's not entitled to collect the Ksuvos. And he's believed? Is he believed? The woman was assumed to be a besula. When he got married, the day before, on Wednesday afternoon, he gave her a ksuba. It says he owes her a ksuba, a regular besula. And he's going to come to Bezin tomorrow. He's going to be believed to say that she wasn't a besula. Why should we believe him? So the Gemara says, we believe him because the whole takanas ksuba is only the Rabbana to begin with. So that's the halacha, heimamru veheimamru. Since the whole takanas ksuba is only the Rabbana, and they figured this mana gemara, the practice was that the chosin's tzad paid for the whole wedding, not the kala's tzad. They didn't pay half and half, and it's not like in some communities where the kala pays for everything. The chosin would pay for the whole wedding. That's what some rishonim hold, that that's medina, that's a real din, that the chosin is mechuyav. It's called a anena mesudas chosin beinu mesamcha. Why is it called sudas chosin? Because he paid for it. It's called sudas chosin. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes that this manus that the meaning is that the chosin doesn't pay. He pays for some of the things, but most of the expenses are paid by the kala. So Moshe has a tshuva where he says that in the event that the couple gets divorced, it's understood the chosin has to reimburse the kala's tzad for all the money that they laid out at the chasana. Because medina, the chosin is really mechuyav to pay, and it's assumed that it's a loan. He has to reimburse them the expenses of the chasana. Al pidin he's mechuyav to pay. So the Gemara there has it in. Ein olam terech the suda umafsida. Chazaka. It's an umdin, it's a ruba delaysa kamon. The likelihood is it doesn't make sense that the chasm yesterday was so madly in love with the kala that he was prepared to spend so much money for the wedding, whatever he pays, it's a suda's chasm that he pays. And then just overnight he's going to come the next morning and tell Bezin a lie that she was a Beulah, that Pesach Pasul Matzasi. If he comes the very next morning after laying out, after spending so much money yesterday on the wedding feast, so Mistami must be telling the truth. So the Gemara implies there that if Ksuba would have really been a Dindaraisa, Ksuba's Besulah Zaraisa, the husband would not be Bagloif to come the next day and say, Pesach Pasul Matzasi, and he's off the hook, he doesn't have to pay the Ksuba. But because it's only the Rabbanon, because the whole Takanas Ksuba is only the Rabbanon, and even if Kosovo loves Ksuba, even if he gives her a document that also is only the Rabbanon, like the Aryeh Debei Eloi writes in the Tshuva, he quotes in Tshuva Zachareinim. So since the whole Chiyuv Ksuba is only the Rabbanon, so we say, Hey Mamar, Hey Mamar. So the Chachamim said that this Umdine is enough to pater himself from the payment of the Ksuba. That's what Tosfos quotes over here. In this long Tosfos on Chesam and Aleph, Dibra Maskal Moitzi Shemra, so right in the middle of the Tosfos, came out exactly in the middle, the line begins with the word Mamon. So it says, "Va'ol shamati meharem, probably merabino parrots." The Rav Meir, this like ksuba deraisa. If you would hold the ksuba deraisa, eilam demalafsidu ksubasa. The husband would not be believed to come. Would not be bagloif to come the next morning. It says he should get married on Yom Ravi, kadesh sheyesh lo tainas besulim, kadesh sheyashkim liyavu lebezin. The batidinim would only be kavuim. Zmanat anoyim. In most communities, the batidinim would only be kavua on sheni v'chamish. So the Gemara says to get married on Sunday, Agam says, but why we don't recommend that. But to get married on Wednesday, that's okay. So to get married on Wednesday, so from half Tainas Pesulim, from Wednesday night, from the Bir Rishayna, he'll come to Bezna Thursday morning, and he will be believed to be Mafsid of Tzubasa. That's the Gemara that Rashi quoted. So Tosfos quotes from the Rabbeinu Peretz, that's only if you hold the Ksuba Lab Deraisa, but if you hold like Rav Meir, if what Mr. hold the Ksuba Deraisa, ain't on them a Mafsid of Ksubasa. The husband will not be believed to come the next morning. The Dafka Lamandam at Ksuba, the Rabbanan, and Kinem Muchach, the Perakam at the Ksubas. Why is it Muchach? Daf Yudam and Alf, the Omer of Nachman, Chachomim Tiktul and Menaisel, the Psula Masan and Almanaman, the Heim Hemin Uhu. And therefore, Heim Omer, Heim Omer, because the whole Ksuba is only the Rabbanan, therefore Heim Hemin Uhu. But if you would have held the ksuba is the raisa, then the husband would not have been bagloip to be mafsid the ksuba.
Fine.
So now let's get back again to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has the din. Dini mamun is b'shloisha, and dini mamun is b'shloisha. So tzvei mo dini mamun is b'shloisha, repetition. So Gemara says a different shloisha. Dini mamun is b'shloisha hedyoites, that's hoidos v'avos. And then the other dini mamun is b'shloisha, that's gzeilos v'chavolos, hoines and mefata moiti shemra, everything other, that's not a hiskaidus midas. Whatever is a hiskaidus midas, I didn't hear about a hoidos v'avos, that's shloisha hedyoites. Whatever the yafusa was. And the other dini mamunis, which is the chiyav hatayro, so that's bishloishes mukhi. So the Mishnah puts the neshima achas oynis hamefata mamoyti shema. So we usually know what that means. Oynis means he was ma'anis and naira besulah. Mefata means not stam deo mezana together. That's not mefata. Mefata means that he was ma'anis of bedvarim. He talked and said he talked till he convinced her that she'd be mezana with him, and then she was mezana. So that's a knas of oynis hamefata. So that's chamishim kesef. That's a knas. It's Chamishim Kesef. How do you translate Hamoitzi Shemra? So Hamoitzi Shemra, and all over of Shas, we know what Moitzi Shemra means, especially when it comes to Nishima Achas with Onis and Mefata Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra means, it's described in the Chumash, that the husband brought witnesses who testify that his wife was Mezana. Wife was Mezana, and Memes Hayadobor was Kolua. If it's really true that she was Mezana, so not only does she lose the ksuba, the din is that every woman is entitled to ksuba in the event that the husband divorces her, or in the event that she becomes an alman after the husband dies. She's only entitled to the ksuba if it wasn't her fault, the breakup of the marriage. Let's say she murders her husband, she kills the husband. So it's her fault that the marriage was ruined. Or let's say she decides she doesn't want to go to mikveh, so she ruined the marriage. Or she's such a miserable wife, she's always screaming and cursing at the husband, he can't take it anymore. So he has to divorce her, so if he can really ascertain that it's her fault that she ruined the marriage, so then the din is that he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. The Mishnah has a list. Eilu yotze shalot b'ksuba. The Mishnah ksuba, Dafayin Beis, says she doesn't want to cover her hair. The married woman doesn't want to cover her hair, so she loses the ksuba. Why? Because the aveira that she doesn't cover her hair? No, not because of the aveira. That's considered ruining the marriage, unless the husband doesn't care. If the husband doesn't care, so she's not ruining the marriage. If when they got married, they agreed she's not going to cover her hair, so it's not called ruining the marriage. But if when they got married, the understanding was she is going to cover her hair, and then she's yotze b'shul perua, she doesn't cover her hair. So that's considered ruining the marriage. He doesn't want to be married. Or the Mishnah has mikalelas yoldav b'fonav. She's disrespectful to the in-laws. That's considered ruining the marriage. Part of the marriage agreement is that you're going to be respectful to the in-laws. And if he or she is mevaza the shviger, the shver or the shviger, so that's considered ruining the marriage. Other things, let's say she's not medaktik and she doesn't want to daven. She doesn't want to daven. If it bothers you that you don't want a wife who doesn't daven, so you want to get rid of her, so pay the ksuba. That's not grounds for divorce. If you're unhappy about it, achveis, whatever, what else could it be? If she doesn't want to observe taras hamishpacha, that has to do with the marriage. What does the Mishnah have? No deres veinu mekayemes. That's the only one that the Gemara found difficulty was. The woman, the wife, a married to a woman, she takes the nedarim all the time, she violates the nedarim. So why is that grounds for divorce? That's her personal private asik. What does it got to do with the marriage? So the Gemara says, because bavoy nedarim, vane meisin. If the parents take nedarim and they violate the nedarim, so this will cause the children to die. Children to die, that has to do with the marriage. Let's say we're married and the wife doesn't want to have any children. So then the Mishnah says that's grounds for divorce. That's what marriage is all about. Ein isha ela lebanim. The Gemara has a brisa in the end of Titus. Ein isha ela lebanim. The whole purpose of getting married is to have children. Unless when they got married, they made up an offense. They don't want to have any children. It's a different thing. So then he can't tie her later on. Hey, I want to get rid of her, and I don't want to pay the ksuba because she doesn't want to have any children. What do you mean you don't want to have? That's what you made up in advance. Let's say when they got married, neither of them was religious, and they both ate treifas. All of a sudden, I'm the father of Mishigas. Husband decides he wants to be kosher. Now he wants to, and she doesn't want to be kosher. Now he wants to divorce his wife because she's not kosher. What do you mean? It's not her fault. When you got married, you weren't kosher either. That's what you made up in advance. That's not considered a condition. And they got married, they didn't keep taras hamishpacha. All of a sudden, he decides to become a bal teshuva. He wants to observe, and she doesn't want to go to mikveh, so he wants to divorce her because she doesn't want to go to mikveh. What do you mean? That's your fault. That's not her fault. But when they get married, they made up in advance. They're gonna, or they never said anything, but it was self-understood. Zman HaTanoim, it was self-understood. Zman was, it depends who they are. But it's self-understood that you are going to observe Taras HaMishpacha, and they're not going to observe Taras HaMishpacha. So whatever is considered a chelik of the marriage, whenever the woman is in violation, she's at fault for ruining the marriage, then she doesn't get the ksuba. So that's the halacha. Let's say the husband brings eidim that the wife was mizana. The wife was mizana beratzin, so she loses the ksuba. Because she's a saita asura lepailo. So of course, he's not allowed to live with her, and it's considered that she is at fault for destroying the marriage. She was mizana tachas baila. So the... A case like this, the husband brings witnesses who testify that the wife was mizana during the marriage. What says during the marriage? The description, the way the Chumash has it, is they had erisin for a year, or a half a year. So during the period of erisin, the woman is an eshesish, an arusa. Means Mekudesh, there are two parts, Naira Marosa. There are two parts to the marriage. There's Erisin and there's Nisun. The Arusa is an Eishas Ish who's not living, she's not the Veis Habal. And the Nisun is an Eishas Ish who is living the Veis Habal. So you have an Arusa, he gave her a ring and said, Hariya Mekudesh Isli. And she's still living in her parents' home, he's still living in his parents' home. And then they take a year till he buys clothing, till he gets a job, till he rents an apartment, till she buys clothing, whatever. At the end of 6 months, end of the year, whatever. So then they decide, they fix a date when they're going to have the Nisun. When they're going to have the Nisun, so then she's in Nisun. After they have the Nisun, then he comes with witnesses who testify that the wife was Mizana sometime during the Erisin. During the Erisin, even though she's still living in a parent's home, they're not living together, but still she's a real Eshesish. So an Eshesish is Insa, is number one, Asur al-Baila. Number one, she's Asur al-Baila because she just became a Saita. Number two, because she's Asur al-Baila, she loses the Ksuga. Because she is at fault for destroying the marriage. And number three, she's Chayv Misa also. She's Chayv Misa also. So the husband, if the husband brings witnesses that his wife was Mizana, and he's out to accomplish all of these three things, to make her Asur al-Baila, and to make her lose her Ksuba derais, a lot of derais, it doesn't make a difference. To make her lose the Ksuba, and to give her an Oynash Misa. And then if the father of the girl, that's the way the Chumash describes it, the girl is a young girl, she's only a Naira Amarosa, she's not 20 years old. A Naira means she's between the age of 12 and a 12 and a half. That was the normal time that people would get married, apparently, with Manatana. So if the girl is still a Naira Amarosa, then she's still the Vesa Viyo. So if the father brings Eidim, a pair of Eidim, to be Mazim, the Eidi Habal, the Kat Eidim, the two witnesses that the father brings, testify, it doesn't all happen in one day. They put up signs all over the country, and they asked, does anybody know if this is true or not true? That Reuben and Shimon testified that this Eshesish was Mizana, whatever, on a Sunday night, and this is this day, and this is this place. So if later on, a month or two later, witnesses will come and testify that it's a lie, Imanu Hayisim Bosa Yom Mokam Acher, that how can those Eidim testify that this Eshesish was Mizana with somebody other than a husband, she loses the Ksubin, she's Chayv Nisim, she's Asur al-Baila. It can't be true, the witnesses weren't even there, they were in a different Medina, they were in Eretz Yisrael on that day. So if the father will succeed, if the girl or the father will succeed in producing witnesses who will be mazin the Eidei Ha'av, so then the Torah says that the husband should be punished with the Yoinish of the Moitzi Shema. What is the punishment of the Moitzi Shema? So first of all, it says V'Yisru also, he gets Malkus. The Chazal understand, the Adach Kapala, the word V'Yisru, the Mahaz Gzera Shava, V'Yisru also means that he gets Malkus. Number two, V'Yonsho also Mea Kesef, he has to pay 100 Shkobin. Why? Ki Hotzi Shemra al Besulas Bas Yisrael. Because he said such Loshon Hara, it's not the word, Hotzi Shemra, Loshon Hara is if it's true. If you say a story about someone else that's not true, that's called Hoytzu HaShemra. So Hoytzu HaShemra is worse than Lashon Hara, it's not even true. So the Mishnah says in Erechin, the Mishnah gives a little agarata, look, if the man attacks the girl, if he's ma'anis and mafat, a single girl, he only pays chamishim shekel kesef. But if a man said Hoytzu HaShemra about his own wife, then the Torah gives a bigger punishment. The punishment is meyer kesef. So the Mishnah says, you see how chomer it is, Lashon Hara, that if you say Lashon Hara against another person, it's a bigger avera than raping a woman, than attacking a single girl who's not married. And here you pay chamishin kesef, by the oinus and mefati you pay chamishin kesef, by the one who said it's not Lashon Hara, really it's HaShemra, the whole story is not true, you pay twice the amount. And the whole sugya of Lashon Hara is on that Mishnah, in Erechin. There's a whole sugya of Lashon Hara, goes a few blood gemar. The whole sugya is avera itself on that Mishnah, that the Mishnah points out that it's chomer, ha'oimer b'pi, it's chomer min oisa maisa. He told a lie about his wife to besmirch his wife's character assassination on his wife. He said that she was Mezana Tachto, so the Torah gives an einish that's twice as chomer as if he would have attacked a single girl. That's what it says in the Mishnah, that the einish of the Moitzi Shemra, he gets a double einish. Usually the din is that you would say Kamalei v'Derabmine, that if there's a Chiyuv Malkus and a Chiyuv Mammon, you don't give both. Either you give him the Malkus and his Pata for the Mammon, or you make him pay the Mammon and his Pata for the Malkus, and Machlokes and Ksubis. Which do you do? When you have Kamalei v'Derabmine by Malkus and Mammon, so the Amoraim have a dispute. You say you give him the Malkus, that's how we pass it. You give him the Malkus and he doesn't have to pay the Mammon. And the other Amora in the Gemara, whose opinion is not accepted, says Faker. The Rebbeinu Shlomo will be moichel on the Malkus. It's more important, make him pay the Mammon. Make him pay the Mammon and he's part of the Malkus. So that's in any other case. But here it's a Mefurish Apostle. It says V'Yisro Oso, which means Malkus. Then V'Yonsho Oso Mea Kesef. And make him pay the Mammon and he gets the Malkus at the same time. That's usually assumed to be the story of Moitzi Shema. Now before we go further, there is a problem over here. That the Mishnah in Erechim gave this agadic comment. It's a non-halachic comment. It's just Derech Agav in the Mishnah. That it says that Oynes and Mefata, you pay 50 shkolim, no matter who the girl is. The girl can be the daughter of the most Miyuchazdika family, or the most Mevuzdika family. If the girl is a Nair of the Sula, Sheloi Rosso, so the payment is always Chamishim Shekel Kesef. And the Moitzi Shemra is the same. The Mishnah has the Moitzi Shemra, you pay the Mea Kesef, whether you destroy the reputation of a girl who is the most, he married the most Miyuchazdika girl in the world, you pay Mea Kesef, or she's the least Miyuchazdika girl in the world. It's the same Mea Kesef. That's how the Mishnah brings out that idea in Erchem. So then the Mishnah says, and the fact that it's twice the punishment, this is 100 shkolim, the Moitzi Shemra is 100 shekel kesef, and the Oides and the Fata is 50 shekel kesef, indicates how chomer it is, one who does Lashon Hara, or even more so, Chetzu HaShemra, that he says, chomer ha'am ha'befiv, yaisem and aisem aisem. And the Mishnah is, I got a comment that would appear, that the punishment, the Malkus with the Mammon, the punishment of the Moitzi Shemra is really because of the Lashon Hara aspect, because of the Hatzor Shemra. The Rishonim all have a kasha, Sedor HaGemara Fakir. Before we get involved in the Sugi, Sedor HaGemara Fakir. There is a Gemara here, Taisus on Chesom and Beis, quotes the Gemara. There's a long Taisus, Behevi Ha'ov Eidim. This is going to be a complicated Gemara, so we'll go a little at a time and we'll cover them. Many, many inyonim here. They're all very fascinating. So there's a long Tesis here, the Hevi Ho'av Eidim, on the side of the Tesis, on the side of the first line in the Tesis, it says it's not really a separate paragraph, it should be Hakol Dibur Hakol. Marshal says that everything is one long Hemshech, it's really one long Tesis. Okay. But in our Gemara, it's printed, it's Tesis Dibur Maska, the Hevi Ho'av Eidim. So deep into that Tesis, the last 13 lines or so, the last 10, 13 lines, Tesis quotes a Gemara in Ksubis, Mem Dalad Amid Beis. In the parentheses, it says Ksubis Daf Mem Dalad on the base. State in the Gemara, Hamoitzi Shemra Alaktana Potur. A man, a case, a man is married to a girl who's not even bas mitzvah. She's not even 12 years old, and he brings Eidim and they say the whole case. They were had Erisin for a year, and then he has Nisuin, and then he brings Eidim to testify that she was Mizana during Erisin. So the Gemara says, since she was a Ktana, if the Eidim are testifying that she was Mizana Takta while she was a Ktana, so there's no din of Moitzi Shemra Laktana Pata. There's no din of Moitzi Shemra. The Parshas Moitzi Shemra doesn't apply because the Chumash says, Nem is Hayadavar Uskalua. It says in the Chumash, if the witnesses that the husband brings who say that the wife was Mizana Tachta, if it turns out that they're telling the truth, we ask that Bezna ascertains that she really was Mizana to the best of their knowledge. It seems that the woman was Mizana during Erisin. Then it says, Mem is Hayadavar Uskalua. Then you give the Isha a skila. But if the girl was a ktana, a katna ktana labani onshinina, so you're not going to give any punishment. So since it's not emes hayadav or eskalua, so therefore the whole din of Moitzi Shemra doesn't apply. That's what it says in the Gemara. So wouldn't it appear from that Gemara that the punishment that the Moitzi Shemra, the husband, has to get the malchus and pay the mea kesef, wouldn't it appear that the punishment is for the attempted murder? Because he was trying to kill her. And if she's a ktana, she's not going to get killed anyway. So there was no attempted murder. So then there's no punishment. So how does this stim with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says not for attempted murder. The Mishnah in Erechim says, Hol amarato shehoima b'fiv chomer min oisa maisa. That the man is ma'anis a mefata girl, that's ma'anis a woman, only pays chamishim. If he talks, ha'itzo ha'shemra, talks, ha'itzo ha'shemra, that is why He gets a bigger punish. That Mishnah in Erechim seems to imply that it's because of the Lashon Hara, because of the Hatzal Shemra, and this Gemara in Ksuba seems to say that it's because of the attempted murder. How does it stim? So the Shita Mekubetzes in Ksuba quotes that Kash. All the Rishonim ask that Kash. So some Rishonim say this is going to be relevant in the Shitas Rabbi Natan, which we didn't even begin yet. The Rabbi Natan is going to be involved. That's why Tosfos quotes it. Rabbi Natan is going to be involved here. So the many Rishonim say the Mishnah in Erechim is only Agada. It's an Agada comment. So the real emes is the Gemara in Ksuvis, that the punishment, the chomedik punishment of the Moitzi Shemra, that he gets Malkus in Momin, this punishment is really because of the attempted murder. And the Mishnah in Erechim that says, Hola Maratoshach, Chomer Hoima Befiv, Yosem Roisem Maise, that it's for the Lashon Hara, that's only Adera Hadrush. But that's not really Alpi Alocha, that's not really true. Really, the Einish of the Moitzi Shemra comes because of the attempted murder. The Rabbi Natam is going to learn the Gemara not so. He's stuck with this Kasha. So Rabbi Natam holds, really like the Mishnah in Erechim, is the Iker. Place it doesn't quote the whole thing. The Rishonim there quote more. In Ksubas, the Shittim Betz quotes it more by Harkavah. So the Rabbi Natam holds the Iker really is like the Mishnah in Erechim, that the punishment of the Moitzi Shemra, that he gets the Malkus and he has to pay the Meir Kesev, is really for the Hotzei Shemra, not for the attempted murder. The Gemara says, Ememis Haya Adavar? No. So the Rabbi Natam says, Natam says a different word. Tais doesn't quote the whole thing of it. Rabbi Natam says that when it says in Ksubis, Amoitzi Shemra al Aktana, if his wife was a Aktana, then he brings witnesses who testify the wife was Mizana Bikatnusa when she was married to him. And then later witnesses come and imagine the witnesses that the husband brought, that the husband doesn't suffer the Einish Amoitzi Shemra. It's not because it has to do with attempted murder. No, it's not. The Lashon Hara against the Aktana is not as bitter as Lashon Hara against the Gdol, because we have a cloud, Pitu Aktana, Oynesu. Even if a Aktana is Mizana Beratzain, that's not considered Beratzin, that's considered as if the man had been Ma'anasar. If the man who is Mizana with a, let's say a woman is an Eshish Ish is a Ketana. And somebody was Mizana with a Ketana. So the Babli says she does not become Asura Baila. Even though she's 11 and a half years old, and she's another half year, she's going to be Bas Mitzvah. She knows what she's doing, and she understands that there's a din of Loisina. And she knows she becomes Asura Baila, so the Gemara says it doesn't matter. Pitu Ketana, Oynesu. That's how the Ravid paskens like the Babli. The Rama paskens like the Yerushalmi, not so. The Rama paskens like the Yerushalmi that if a woman is a Ketana and she's an Eshes Ish and she knows what she's doing and she's Mizana Tachas Baila, she does become Asura Baila. So that's an Esek and Shulchan Aruch that Achronim discuss. How should we pasken over here? Should we pasken like the Rambam who paskens like the Yerushalmi that even a Ketana Shezinsa does become Asura Baila? Or should we pasken like the Babli that the Ravid quotes? The Ravid says, what is the Rambam talking about? It's an offer of the Mar, Pita Ketana Oynesu. Even if you're Mefata the Ketana, and she's Mizana Berotzen, the Halacha says that she's a lot Bazdas, so that's considered as if it was Ba'oynes. Let's say if the woman was a Shaita, also a Shaila. It comes up, unfortunately, every so often. Let's say a woman is married, and she's a Shaita, and she's Mizana Tachas Baila. So does she become Asura Baila or not? So it depends what kind of a Shaita she was. See, if the woman had a double personality, they have all kinds of mishigas. So let's say the woman didn't, at the time that she was Mizana, she didn't realize that she was Mrs. Stern. She thought that she was somebody else. She thought that she was single. Or she thought that she was that man's wife. She had a mishigas. To that extent, a double, they have people with double or triple, with the quadruple personalities. At the time they do different things, they think that they're different people. So if she mamish didn't realize, that's for sure mutaris levayla. If the husband wants to remain married with her, so the halacha said that's not called an eshes ish zinsa. That's mamish shaking. She didn't realize that she was an eshes ish at the time. But let's say she knew she was an eshes ish, but she's just crazy. She has certain mishigas and al pidin, we consider her as a shaita. But she understands everything. At the time that she was mizana, she knows she's an eshes ish. So that would be a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid by a ketana shezinsa. Alpidin is a lab bas das. You say whenever the woman who's being mizana is a lab bas das, so that's like pita ketana oynesu. So she doesn't become asura bailo. Or you say no, you don't have to be alpidin a bas das as long as the person understands. The person has seichel. Not talking about a retarded person. Talking about a highly intelligent person. But crazy, a person is deranged, doesn't mean that he's retarded. There are deranged people who are very, very intelligent. But al-pidin, a deranged person is amashugana. Cherish means retarded. And shaita, that's how the Pasuk says, cherish means retarded. Hatnishkin seichel. And shaita means deranged. So a deranged person can sometimes be very, very intelligent, but al-pidin is a lot by das. That's like a ktana, let's say, he's 11 and a half years old. Understands everything that's going on, but al-pidin, Allah declares that she's a lot by das. So that's taka machlek, is the Rambam and the Ravid, where such a woman becomes asur al-bayl. So getting back over here, so there's this theory in the din deraisa, when the Torah says that the motzi shem al-ishto is punished, the yisru also, we aren't sure that they are kesef, aloi siyel yishal, the yuchal the shalcha kol yomav. A whole package, malkis, and they are kesef, aloi siyel yishal, the yuchal the shalcha kol yomav, this whole package of an oinish. All these halakim to the oinish of the motzi shema. Is this oinish because of attempted murder, as it would appear from the Gemara Ksubis, the lekrina bei b'lo yisrael yisha, or the lekrina bei memesai adava, or is it because of the loshen hara, because of the hatsua shemra? So some rishonim say that the ikir is the Gemara Ksubis, that's a halachic statement, and the Mishnah in Erechin is only agadic. And the Rabbin and Tam holds there's no stira at all. The ikir is really the Mishnah in Erechin, that's going to be the key to this Rabbin and Tam. Rabbin and Tam turns the whole Gemara upside down here. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it has nothing to do with attempted murder. The Gemara Ksubis seems to say by a Motzi Shema Laktana that the husband is not chayv mea kesef because there was no attempted murder. He says, doesn't say that in the Gemara. It's an undervoid. If a man says Hatsua Shema and his wife that she was nensa, let's say he brings witnesses who testify falsely that his wife was nensa tachta. Nensa tachta is not her fault. The witnesses testify that someone attacked her and she was nensa. And then it turns out, when Mazim, the witnesses, and it turns out the whole thing was Sheker, and it turns out that he bribed the first pair of witnesses to testify falsely to Bashmutz's wife that she was Nensa. That's a big busha to be Nensa. But still, there wouldn't be a din of Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra is only if he says, bigger Bashmutzin, if he says that she was Mizana Beratzin. But if he says that she was Nensa, that's a terrible Hatzor Shemra. That itself is humiliating. That's busy Bizyonis. But that's not enough of a busha to be mechayiv the husband to pay Moitzi Shema money. So now the Gemara Ksubis just says, what if the man is married to a ktana? And the husband bribed witnesses to come and testify. That's how the Rambam passes La Halacha. That the only time the husband pays the punishment, the malchus with the moment of Moitzi Shema is if we can ascertain later that he bribed the first pair of witnesses to testify falsely. And we ascertain that they're Eidei Sheker because another pair of Eidim came and were mazin, the original pair. So if the first pair of Adam testified that the wife was a ktana when she was mizana beratzen, a ktana who is mizana beratzen is pita ktana inesu. So that's not considered, that's not the more serious form of Hatsua Shemra, that he says his wife was mizana beratzen, that's the lesser, it's a bit enough, but that's the lower form of Hatsua Shemra. He's saying that the wife was nensu, because by a ktana, by the ktana she's a lab basanshin. Not only a lab basanshin, a lab bas das. And we say pita ktana enes. Why is she a lab basanshin? Because we say she's a lab bas das. So since she's a lab bas das, even though the witnesses testify she was mizana beratzen, but mizana beratzen at the age of 11 and a half is the same as nensa. So that's not as serious a form of a hitzua shema. So the ikir, Rabbeinu Tam holds, the ikir really is the Mishnah in Erechim. That the punishment of Moitzi Shemra is really for the Hoitzua Shemra, for the Loshon Hara. Godel Ha'ayma Bifiv Yosem and Oysem Aysa. The Loshon Hara is Gefela. But the only time you get this Oynish of Yisrael, of the Yonshas and Me'akes, the Loisi Yilishal, the Yuchel Shal Kayam, of all the four parts of the punishment, that's only if it was the full Loshon Hara, to the fullest extent, that he said she was Mezana Beratzen. But if he says she was Nensa, that's less of a degree, it's terrible Lashon Hara, but it's less of a degree of a Lashon Hara, so then he doesn't have to pay. That's how the Rabbi Natan holds. And then, so these are the two shittas of the Rishon, whether the Iker is the Mishnah Erechin, or the Iker is Ashaylan Adin Daraisa, or the Iker Mechayib of the Oynish of Moitzi Shemra, is really the attempted murder, the Gemara Ksuvah Tatan Zal. Then the third shita, compromise shita, that you have also in Rishon, and there in the Shittim Kubetzis, it's all there in Ksuvah Memdal. There's a third opinion, that they're both correct. Data than an emes, because there are two parts to the punishment of the Moitzi Shemra. One part of the punishment is that we give him malchus. So the malchus is b'chubin keneged, the attempted murder. If he would have really succeeded in murdering his wife, maybe we'd give him an einish misa. But it was only attempted murder. And then it's hayadavar as kolua. So if it was attempted murder, then he gets an einish malchus. But if there was no attempted murder, there was only bashmutzing his wife, the Loshon Hara, so that's when the Mishnah says that he pays the Me'ah Kesef. The Mishnah there, and Erechen is emphasizing that Oynes and the Fata pays 50 shkolim, and the Motzi Shemra pays 100 shkolim. Mishnah is not concentrating on the Malkus. The Mishnah is saying, look, Kama Choma Hoyma B'fiv, Yosem and Oysa Maisa. Oysa Maisa, he attacks the girl, Amanis, Naira Besula, only pays 50, and he says, Loshon Hara, he pays 100 shekels. So you see, the Mishnah is just concentrating on the money, on the payment of the money. So the payment of the money, that's what the Ritzvah, I think, has that compound. The payment of the money is because of the Loshon Hara, because of the Hatzah Shemra. And the Malkus is because of the attempted murder, because he tried to kill his wife. These are the three sheets that the Rishonim have. What is the Mechayiv of Moitzi Shemra? But again, what's the din of Moitzi Shemra Chumash? Nahama. The husband... Later on, we ascertain the husband bribed witnesses to testify falsely that the wife was Mizana Tachta during their marriage, during Erison, in which case she's Asur Al Baila, in which case she loses the Ksuba because she's responsible for breaking up the marriage, and in which case she's going to be Chayv Misa also. So in that case, when it's everything, it's attempted murder and it's also Lashon Hara, it's Hashem about the wife, then for sure you have the whole package deal that it says in the Torah that in the event that a second pair of Edom come and Amazim, the first pair of Edom, the Halacha says we believe the Mezimim, when you have Trey, two witnesses say Zinsa, two witnesses say Loi Zinsa, so Trey, you don't know who's telling the truth. So the Pashta says you don't make the husband pay, you don't give the husband Malkus, you don't make him pay Me'ah Kesef, if you don't know whether the witnesses that he brought are telling the truth or not. That's our Pipashtus. There's a fellow, the Ran here. The Ran quotes this, the Rabbi Natan, which we didn't even begin yet. The Ran has one version of Rabbi Natan, that in such a case, the husband pays Me'ah Kesef. So the Pashtus is that all the Rishonim do not hold like that Ran. That version of Rabbi Natan isn't going to work out. The Pashtus is the husband brings witnesses who say that his wife was Mizana, and then another two witnesses say it's not so. So you don't know whether they're telling the truth, they're telling the truth. So how can you punish the husband? The only time you punish the husband is if the second kateidim amazim, the first kateidim, and it comes out that the first kat have been ascertained to have been giving a lie. And then we find out, then we discover that the husband bribed the first kat to give the aid of Sheka because he wanted to murder his wife, or because he wanted to bashmutz her reputation. And then the Torah has the oynish of Moitzi Shemra. So that's usually what we mean when you have Mishnayos all over the place in Ksubas and other Mesichtas. It talks about Oynes and Mefata Moitzi Shemra. We know what it means, Moitzi Shemra. Moitzi Shemra means the husband bribed the witnesses to testify about his wife, and then you mazim those witnesses, so the husband gets the Oynes Malkus, Vyisroso, Yonshos and Me'a Kesef, Eloise Eli Isha, Lo Yuchel Vashal HaKayom, of those haste Moitzi Shemra. Rashi learns on our Mishnah that that's not what's going on. When the Mishnah has a machlekes satana, because we don't know what's going on in the Mishnah here, the Mishnah presents a machlekes satana. It says in the Mishnah on base of an aleph, Tzeres hachavolus, nezik chatzin, nezik kefal dalavahei, oynes and mefate, everything is shloisha smuchim. All of a sudden, by Moitzi Shemra, is a machlekes satana, whether it's 3 or it's 23. Why should it be 23? And we pask in 23. Rav Meir says, the Rav Meir, that it's b'shloisha. That's what I would have said. Moitzi Shemra, the same as Kefal Dalav Ha'Oynis and Mefat Moitzi Shemra, the whole thing goes B'Nishim Achas, all over Shas, they always put Ha'Oynis and Mefat and Moitzi Shemra together. All of a sudden, Machacham and Maimrim, Moitzi Shemra, Be'esam Ishloisha, Mepnei, Sheyesh Bodine Nefoshes. So Mepnei Sheyesh Bodine Nefoshes, Poshep Shat means that sometimes there'll be an Oynish Misa. Yeah, because sometimes there'll be an Oynish Misa, but if today we're not handling with an Oynish Misa, why should the Chachamim say, why? We pass from like the Chachamim. Why should we say that it's Be'esem Mishloisha? So that's what the Gemara asks, on Chesem and Aleph. How do you read the Mishnah? Towards the bottom of Chesem and Aleph, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Machachamim Oimrim, Moitzi Shema Be'esem Mishloisha, Mepnei Sheyesh Bo, Dina Nefoshes. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Mepnei Sheyesh Bo, Dina Nefoshes? Rashi writes around 20 lines from the bottom in the Rashi, Machachamim Oimrim, Mepnei Sheyesh Bo, Dina Nefoshes, Kasalka Daitach, Rashi writes, Dachiko Amri. The Chachamim said like this, Mishum de'ika Moitzi Shemra. Sometimes in the case of a Moitzi Shemra, they'll be discussing whether someone's Chayiv Misa. De'ika Moitzi Shemra, the Shaykh Ben Din Nefashis, Kon Shehevi Eidim. So therefore, every case of Moitzi Shemra has to have a Bezen 20 things. So Rashi writes right away, Ubi Gemara Parchin, and the Gemara asks, Mayra V'chiyesh, but Din Nefashis, Mayhavi, O Bahashtami Alab Din Nefashis, Udaleka Eidim. We're talking about a case, he just wants to collect the Moitzi Shemra money. So why should you? Why did the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that you always need 23? That's the Gemara's kasha. V'cheyesh b'din mefashes mayam. So the Gemara is going to give an interpretation as to what's going on. So Rashi learns the whole sugya one way, and the Rabbeinu Tam learns the whole sugya differently. Rashi says on the whole sugya, we're talking about the husband being believed comes to Bezin the day after the Beer Rishon. Just got married yesterday, comes to Bezin the next day, and he's bagloit because Ksuv is lab deraisa. So the husband is believed to say Pesach Kosuach Matzos, because that's the Gemara Ksuv is daf yud. It says Chachamim Tiknu LeBnei Yisrael Psula Masayim V'Heim Hem Inu, because the Ksuv is only the Rabbanon. So therefore Heim Rama V'Heim Rama. So they said Chazak Ein Anam Terech Nesuda Mafsida. Doesn't make sense that he spent so much money. Yesterday he was so madly in love with her, he paid for the whole wedding, and now the very next day he backs out and he says she was mezana during Erisin Pesach Pasuch. So therefore we have to believe him when he says Pesach Pasuch. So Rashi says that's what the word means in the Mishnah. We know what it means. It means the knas of the Chamishim Kesef. Moitzi Shemra doesn't mean the knas of the Meir Kesef at all. Moitzi Shemra means a man comes to Bezin, he's not Moitzi Shemra. He says that he just had Nisuin and his wife is Pesach Pasuach, so he wants to be believed to be Mafsid HaKesuvah. That's called Moitzi Shema. That's called, so that's the Rabbeinu Tam has a series of 10 kashas. Each kasha is better than the other. This long thesis. Moitzi Shema and Daf Chesem Rav, so the quotes Pirish Bekuntris. Shehabal Tain Pesach Pasuach Matzasi LaHafsid HaKesuvah. The whole sugi is starting off. The whole Mishnah means Moitzi Shema means the husband wants to be Neman with the Gemara and Suda Daf Yud. Heim Heminu Loima Pesach Pasuch Matzase, because they don't have Terech to Suda Lap Sida. So Rabbeinu Tam says, how can it be? The Kosher of Rabbeinu Tam Chodah, number one, the Gabi Yonis and Mephata Katana L'Shem Knosses. All over Shas, when it says Yonis and Mephata Moitzi Shema, we know what Moitzi Shema means. It means the Meir Kesef. It doesn't go on Suda. It says all over Shas, Moitzi Shema always means Meir Sela. Then he says, furthermore, how can it be that it means Shlosha Smuchim? For Hepsik Subi, need Shlosha Smuchim. Tosis says in the days of the Balei HaTosis, they used to have Dini Torah about collecting Ksuba. Ksuba is the same as Hodos Valvois. It can be done by Shlosha Hadiatis. You don't need Shlosha Smuchim. How do we know? Because in the days of the Amorayim, the Kamaduch, the Ashkechon, Shadon, Dini Ksuba, Bebobo, Lechenu Agam Akshav, and Sarfas. They were always done Dini Ksuba. You can't be done Dini Knosis. But the Dandini Ksuba, so they can't believe Rashi. How can Rashi give such a pshat? So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the whole Gemara, this Gemara keeps on going on and on and on and on, keeps on going. So the Rabbeinu Tam is going to interpret everything that it goes on. What we know is Moitzi Shemra, from Ksuba, Moitzi Shemra, from the Chumash. And Rashi interprets, no, the whole Gemara is talking about Hefzik Ksuba. Very strange, very strange. You get to this is one long Tesis. Even though they broke it up into the separate, when you get to the Tesis, Chesam and Beis, the long text is the Hedi Ho'avedim, the last three lines. Birushalmi Motzei Rashbo. The Rashmi Shans is the Rashbo. The Rashbo, the Sephardi, that was the Talmud of the Ramban. That's a different text. It didn't have any Rashbo. He was in Svarad. But whenever text quotes a Rashbo, that's the Rashmi Shans. Birushalmi Motzei Rashbo, Plukta Damaroi. And this Mishnah is a Machlekes Amaroi. Two Pshatim, how to read the Mishnah. Deekan the Mephorish Plukta Linyan Ksubikin and Mephorish Bekuntris. Some of the Amoraim burn the Mishnah like Rashi said, that when it says in the Mishnah it's a machleg zameh nachachamim regarding ksuba, regarding Moitzi Shemra, it means the husband wants to be mafsid his wife to ksuba, and that's the machleg zameh and the Rabbanon about that. The Ikad the Mefarish and the other Amoraim interpret like the Rabbeinu Tam, linyan meyah selikin Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam. They learn that the word Moitzi Shemra means Moitzi Shemra. So you're going to have to spend, we didn't even begin the sugi yet. Okay, so far we just gave up some. You have to spend a lot of time learning. This is very halacha. So far nothing is halacha mice. So far we don't have any Moitzi Shema bizmanazah. But the way Rashi learns, the way Rabbeinu Tam learns, a lot of these details in this sugi are going to come up halacha mice. There's a famous tshuva in Nerebi Yehuda about Anashas Isha Zinso. It happened that she was married to a rabbi. And her husband again agreed to Tanis Cholim, so he passed good of it that she's Muteris Labaz. His wife was Mazana, and he passed on she's Muteris, and he had seven heteris, seven reasons why she's Muteris. So the Lady Behuda at that time wasn't in Prague, he lived still in Pardolia, I think. Yampala. So he and the Baal Shem Tov both lived, they were related. He and the Baal Shem Tov were both furious about this. So they both got involved. So the Baal Shem Tov had to leave town because of this. Because he made such a stink that the woman is Asura Baila. So they chased him out of town. The governor of the village chased him out of town because the rabbi was the Korablam Alchus over there, and he said, whoever makes a fuss about his wife is going to be thrown out of town. Then Rabbi Yehuda wrote a tshuva to the Bechet David, who was the Rav in Constantinople. Kiilu the Shaila was sent from Constantinople. It wasn't in Constantinople. It was in his village. The Shaila was in He wanted Adonim Gadol to be maskin with him, so he sent it far away. So no one from the neighboring villages should get involved in the government over here. They shouldn't penalize anybody. So he has a long tshuva in Chelek Eben Ezra, Sinai and Aleph, a very famous tshuva. He goes a whole page, Tziris Heter Aleph, then he goes Tziris Heter Beis, Tziris Heter Gimel, Tziris Heter Dalet. He goes all. He undoes all of the seven heterim that the husband had, why his wife was Materis Labaila, and then after pages and pages and pages says, Maskana de Milsa, Ishiza, Asur Labaila, and they have to get divorced. He wrote a kilo, it happened in Constantinople, it was in his Dalaramas, it was in his community that the Shaila came up. So part of the tshuva, one of the Siras HaHeterim, one of the ripping apart one of the heterim that the husband had, has to do with this tesis. How do you read the tesis and whether we pass them like the tesis? So Billy Netter will have to. Next week we'll have to start the sugya. Now we just scratched the surface. We learn next week. Next week is Hanukkah? No. The week after, next week we'll start the sugya. Okay. Okay. This week's Sedra is by Yeshiv. They quote the famous comment from one of the Magidim, I think they say from the Dubna Magid, that on all the other Sedras it's easy to give a drasha. And Cain and Hevel, so Cain is the bad guy and Hevel is the good guy. So it's very easy, you just give a description of Cain and Hevel, and everybody understands that you have to do like this and not like that. Yankif and Esav is easy. Esav is the bad one and Yankif is the good one. And Yankif and Laban is also easy. Come over here, the Shvatim, they're both tzaddikim. So what is he going to say over here? Who's right and who's wrong is very hard. But nonetheless, the Midrashim say that Yosef HaTzadik was punished, that he should go to prison for 12 years because of the fact that he said Lashon Hara against the brothers. Even though the Mefarshim point out that everything was always gehalten al pi din. The Gemara says that sometimes a person has to tell Lashon Hara to the other, to the Chofetz Chaim Chutz. Sometimes you have to tell over Lashon Hara to the person's Rebbe or to the person's parents. Let's say a child misbehaves in school. So the principal calls up the parents and he says, what the child did, I is Lashon Hara. So the answer is no, the principal needs the parents to straighten out the child, he needs the assistance. So that's not an Issa Lashon Hara, it's L'toel Elis L'Habo. So the Mefarshim will point out, Yosef did L'Shem Shamayim. And even though he did L'Shem Shamayim, but still he was Einish, that he had to go to jail for 12 years as an Einish for talking Lashon Hara against the brother. And the father was supposed to listen, when you tell me a problem about my children, when the principal calls me and tells me that he's having trouble with my children, I have to listen and have to see to do something about it. So the same Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was punished, that Nistalka Hemen and Ruach HaKodesh for the 12 years because he was Mekabel the Lashon Hara, because he listened and he believed it. You're not supposed to be Mekabel the Lashon Hara. And the Chazal say that the Asorah, the Midrashim say that Asorah Harugi Malchus was an Einish Lederis because of the Sinasachim, because of the Machlekes between the brothers. I wonder when the Gemara in Sukkah talks about the fact that before Mashiach is going to come, before the Mashiach ben David is going to come, so the Gemara says it's going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef. So it's very unclear. What is the Mashiach ben Yosef supposed to do? So the Goyim say that this Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. The Gemara says Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. Then the Goyim say Mashiach ben David, to prove that he's the Melech HaMashiach, is going to do a Tchiyas HaMeisim on the Mashiach ben Yosef. So that's the role that he plays in proving and identifying who the Mashiach ben David is. The Rambam says that it's not so. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim, when he talks about the Bias HaMashiach, so he says the Melech HaMashiach doesn't have to do any Nisim and Nefloas at all. That's coming to disagree, to attack the Goyim. So what is the role of the Mashiach ben Yosef? It's very unclear. So Rav Kook has a whole essay. When Herzl died, he gave a whole hesped. So he spoke about what's supposed to be Mashiach ben Yosef. What's the role of Mashiach ben Yosef? Very unclear. They quote from the Vilna Goyim, the Talmidim of the Gro quote in the Kol HaTorah, name of the Vilna Goyim, that just like it says by Yosef, Ayaka Yosef Isecha Behem Lo Hikiru, that they didn't recognize Yosef because he had a beard, he was older, so too, before the Tkufa of Bias HaMashiach, Abiyah Bechina Behem Lo Hikiru. It'll be so strange, it won't look like we're holding by Mashiach's Titan at all. It'll look like, if anything, Faket. It's going to take another 1,000 years, another 5,000 years. If Mashiach didn't come in the last 2,000 years, it's not going to come now either. One gets the impression as if Mashiach is not going to come, but really he is coming. Really, when it comes closer to the end, that's called Mashiach ben Yosef. There are going to be things happening that's going to be Behem Lo Hikiru. It's going to be everything is going to be in camouflage that we won't realize that Mashiach is really not coming because everything is going to look fakir. That's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So I wonder, maybe I don't know. So I don't know any Mekoris. The Gemara just mentions in one place in Sukkim. Maybe Mashiach ben Yosef has another idea. That Yosef with the brothers was so tzikrikt. They didn't get along. It was gefelach. And the Mishnah says in Stoita that before Bikvas of the Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, there are going to be various simonim that this is the Tkufas Bikvas of the Mashiach. So the Mishnah has one of the simonim is Ho'emes Nederes. So what do you mean Ho'emes Nederes? So the Pashup Shat is, we won't know what the Emes is. It'll be so camouflaged, we won't know whose sheet is correct. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Emes Nederes is Miloshin Eder. The Emes will be Nasis Adorim Adorim. Everybody will have their own Shita, and everybody will attack the other one's Shita. I'm the only one who has the Emes, and the others don't have the Emes. So that's one of the Simonim. The Mishnah says that's one of the Simonim of Bias HaMashiach. So maybe that's what the Chazal meant, I don't know. That there's going to be a Mashiach Ben Yosef before Mashiach comes, before the real Mashiach comes. There's going to be Krigerai, like the Acha Yosef, who are fighting with Yosef. He held that he's right, and they held that they were right. They would don him as a Raidev. And as far as the rights on Chumash, they had no... He went and he told the father Lashonar, he held that everything was kiddin, and he did L'shem Shammai. And they would don him as a right, if they nischayev nisa, they had a right to kill him, and they had no chashashes at all. And the Midrashim say, how does it say, Al mocho tzadik bavur naloyim? The Pasuk says in Novi. Hamichon bakesu tzadik bavur naloyim. So the Midrash says, when they sold Yosef, so they took the money and they bought shoes. So some of the Sfarim write, what, they buy shoes? Why do they buy shoes? To demonstrate that they don't have to sit shiva. It's like Harul Yepes. We don't have to sit shiva. This guy was chayv misa. If you have to sit shiva, you have to take off your shoes. Nilo Sasan. They bought a new pair of shoes to show. Absolutely no chashash whatsoever. Everybody holds that they're right. And that's Bemis. That's the tragedy of the Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk starts off in Vayeshev. Bikish Yankel Leishev Bishalbi. He finally got rid of Lovan. He finally got rid of Loit. And he thought it was going to be peaceful. Kofatzolov, he got the worst sorrow that he ever had. We don't need, like Yaakov Nehman said, we don't need any outside enemies. We are our worst enemy. We don't get along with each other. That's the worst thing. And the machloikas between Yosef and the brothers, they're tzadikim. That's the cause of the Asara Harugim Malchus. That's the cause of the fact that there's no gula. The Chazal say on the Pasuk in Chumash Mois that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Achenu Da'at Davo, he says, now he understands why there's no gula. If they can't get along with each other, everybody's fighting with everybody else. We have to be misakin sometimes, the oven of the chet of the Achei Yosef, we're going to continue to have krigerai, we'll never get along with each other, the Mashiach will never come. We have to already stop and make peace. The Pasuk says in Navi that the day will come that Yosef, the Shvatim, the Yosef with the brothers will finally make peace. Yeah, when Mashiach comes, but we have to try to hasten the coming of Mashiach, we should all get along together. Unfortunately, Parshas Vayeshev is always Parshas HaShavuot. The krigerai between Yosef and the brothers is always there. So we have to be misakin already, the chet of Achei Yosef. The Mogen Avraham's son-in-law wrote a whole sefer on that kasha. It says he sees the ishtoi that a person doesn't do it. She's only mizanim if she has the ruach shtus. So he has a whole sefer on that kasha. How does she become asur al daiva? If she's a shaita, temporary insanity is also insane. He has a whole little sefer, a whole country on that kasha. Mogen Avraham's son-in-law has a whole sefer on that kasha. Something like the woman Shia is saying that if it's a toy, that's not Mishan Hasabinian. The Kabbalah says that you're not Marvel.